I believe that belief is the most important ingredient in our success. When we see it clearly and believe it dearly, we declare a defining moment, an epiphany, if you will. We declare, I can do this. I am doing this. Detailed success stories I know are the best way to build this belief. So I'm on a mission to interview every diamond and above in Young Living worldwide. I'm learning from them the granular details of what they thought then and what they think now. I gathered all their vital statistics on how many people they enrolled year one to the ER rate. Let's dive in and listen.
Hey everybody, Richard Blissbrook here with yet another Road to Diamond interview. This week, we have one of Kimmy and my favorite people, founder of the Ignite event from Surprise, Arizona, Andrea Lehman. Hello, Andrea.
Hey, Richard. How you doing?
So good. So good.
Awesome. I'm super excited about this.
We were just talking before we hit record about our mutual puppies that are about the same age. So, Andrea, I can't wait for people to hear your story. You have such a wonderful story of discovering Young Living and discovering network marketing, and then your performance numbers are such a great role model, like textbook, how you went about building. So we got to get this out for people to study. So first of all, same question I ask everybody. Who were you? Where were you? What were you doing before you ever heard of Young Living?
So actually, I was a Young Living user for a while. 2007, I got introduced to Young Living by my mother-in-law. It's a pretty good story. She gave us oils in our stocking because, you know, even as adults, we still get stockings from Deborah Lehman. And I knew nothing about them. And if you, for those of you who know Deborah Lehman, she's another diamond in the company. She is very heart-centered, heartfelt. Richard, you got to experience her at Ignite last year. And I'm a little bit more, obviously I love people, but I'm a little bit more like, give me the facts. Like I want to know the specifics, that kind of thing. And so she said, use these oils. I just feel like they're going to be good for you. And that was about all we got. And so they went up in our medicine cabinet, and I was a school teacher at the time. I was teaching high school English, and my immune system was shot and I was needing support. And she kept prodding me to use Thieves, and I tried it, and I have never gone back to before. So it took only like a couple of months of using the products, falling in love with them, and realizing I was going to be in this for life. But the business side of it didn't come for a few years. I had shared, you know, here and there with just friends and family, but didn't really see the potential in it until the 2012 convention. And I heard Melissa Pepping speak. She was a silver at the time. And I heard Bob Proctor speak from the main stage, and that shifted everything. We had never, you know, prior to that, Young Living looked very different. I mean, you know, you were familiar, Richard, with the company. I think I was probably one of three people under the age of 30 at the time who even attended convention. And so just did not see the potential in building this. And along with that, in 2012, when I went to that convention, I had a three-year-old at home and I had a six-month-old. And it was that shift in life where I really was looking for something different. We'd been getting cuts in the teaching profession for the previous 4 years. And I didn't see myself being able to be excited about going to work for 30 more years. So everything kind of came together at that same time. And this is not tooting your horn at all. This is the facts of it. I picked up a four-year career book at that convention, read it. My husband read it. And we decided that month, it was August of 2012, that if I could match my take-home income by the end of the school year, that I was going to take the risk and leave teaching. And that's what
we did. Wow. The four-year career launches another four-year career.
Exactly.
So I'm curious, Andrea, what did Melissa... Did you say she was a silver?
She was a silver.
Why was she on stage?
She was teaching one of the classes. It wasn't the main stage, but you know, there were different classes you could go to. And I was like, oh, there's a business class, because there had never been business classes.
She was teaching business.
So I was like, well, let me go check this out. And I'll tell you, you know, I say that we started the business in 2012. We wanted to have a business prior to that. Like, and we were doing things here and there, but there was just no consistency, no real effort, no vision, no goals, nothing written down, no sharing the business, anything like that. And so what that got me was a paycheck of about $200 to $300 a month for those 5 years. And I had already, it's funny because my mother-in-law loves to tell the story that she had resigned herself to the fact that we were done even exploring the Young Living business, because I, that summer before I went to convention, had decided it was a great idea to start doing kids consignment sales, just like on the side of teaching. And so I put hours, Richard, like 3 months worth of full-time hours on top of teaching into putting on this one, or I guess it was a weekend, a 2-day consignment sale at a church next to me. And I walked away after those 2 days with a whopping like $950.
It's the gig economy at work.
Yes. So she thought she'd lost me for sure. And then they went to that convention and I came out of Melissa's class, and after hearing Bob, and I was like, okay, I don't know about you two, but so my mother-in-law, sister-in-law, I don't know about you two, but I'm doing this for reals now.
And okay. So what did Melissa and Bob say that made a difference for you?
Melissa was just cute and spunky and young. I mean, truly. And I mean, she put on a great presentation, I'm sure. She was talking about home parties. And she has, if my recollection is that she said that she was doing 5 to 6 events minimum a month and duplicating that. And so I was like, well, I can do that.
Did she talk about money?
I don't remember her talking about money, but I knew what a silver made. And for me at that time, a silver paycheck, an average silver paycheck, would have been a little bit more than what I was taking home with teaching. So that was enough for me.
And what did Bob Proctor say that inspired you?
His was, you know, the note card thing he does where you're supposed to write down your audacious goal. And so it was, I'm so excited and grateful now that I'm a silver leader with Young Living. And I put the date. So this was July of 2012, and I put January of 2013 as that date that I was silver. And then I wanted to throw up after I wrote that down because I'd never written anything down.
And what did you learn in the 4-year career that inspired you?
Oh my gosh, everything. It just answered all the questions. It's why I love giving it as a tool. And it is, it has been the main tool that I've used for the last 7 years. Is anytime somebody is interested in checking out the business, that's what they get. And then I set that appointment for 2 to 3 days later to meet up with them or to chat on the phone to see what they loved about it. So it was, the one thing that I feel like I point out the most to people is that image of a car going up a hill and, the maximum effort, little payout. And then you get to the point where you're getting paid what you feel like you're worth. And then all of a sudden breaks off. Or you can take your foot off the pedal and it just goes down. So, and I would say that my business very closely matched that image in those 4 years. Okay. So that was kind of cool to see.
So let's talk about your business. You came home from convention and you moved from the casual, accidental, sharing, occasional to something more consistent and intentional. What was the plan? What was the strategy that you implemented post-convention? And when would that be? So would that be halfway through 2012?
Yeah, it was August of 2012 when I really would say that I launched. And it looked like, I know I took massive notes on what Melissa Pepping said she did and just implementing that, which really was 6 intro classes a month. And I went back to all of the people who I had enrolled, who I hadn't followed up with, who I hadn't shared the business with. And I touched base with all of them, let them know that I was in this and seriously building now. And, just apologized for not being in touch and not helping them really learn to love their oils and so on and so forth. A couple of those people ended up joining me in business. And then everybody else came later.
Okay, and you, according to your numbers, you personally sponsored 40 people and made executive by the end of 2012. I'm curious, are there any of those 40 people that are significant legs, ranks for you now?
Okay, of the first 40, my sister is a gold. First 40. I have a couple silvers. Yeah, so one gold and two. Two golds and two silvers.
Two golds and two silvers. That's 4 out of 40. That's 10%. That's right in line with, I mean, the what I've experienced is for every 10 to 15 people you personally enroll, you're going to get one person that goes on to build something, providing you provide leadership and support and a track to run on. So those numbers are right in line. So year two, you personally sponsored 37 people and you went to platinum. That's a pretty substantial rise. That's going from 1500 a month in income to, well, that'd be a silver. So it's actually going from about 500 to close to 10,000 a month. What happened in that second year? What did you do to create such a meteoric rise?
Yeah, so structurally, I was pretty wide. And so it took me a while to get to silver. So I had volume for silver early on in that year. But I didn't hit silver until I think October of 13. So a little over a year after I began building. But I was set up with five legs that were in it and were wanting this and were doing the work. And so it just kind of, the foundation was there and it just kind of exploded from there.
So did you do anything, Andrea, in terms of, you know, think leadership, think inspiration? What did you do to have your people experience the same kind of business building epiphany that you did? Did you lead them to specific events? Did you have them do anything besides read the four-year career? Did you do any book studies? Did you do any retreats?
We did several of those things. I do think one thing about our team is we're really good at creating culture and a family atmosphere. And so from the beginning with us all, you know, so my mother-in-law enrolled me and she enrolled my sister-in-law and she enrolled my brother-in-law. So those were like her three main legs was all family. And we were all educators. So we all came out of teaching. And so we had this ability to keep things simple and duplicable, you know, say, show, do. Yep. We were able to do that, create, you know, easy curriculum for people to follow on, you know, how to reach out to people, how to invite them, how to share, how to follow up, you know, all of those steps. So we had that available for them. And we started, I'm trying to think timeline. No, we hadn't done a big team training yet at that point in that first year. But I went to a training in that first year that totally shifted mindset stuff for me. And so I think just by me going, it made me a better leader and better able to.
What was it?
First Steps to Success. Danny Johnson, First Steps to Success.
Who teaches it?
Danny Johnson.
Oh, yes. Okay, good. So you came back from that probably a more focused, intentional, empowered leader.
Correct. I would say so. And let go of a lot of things, you know? So it was good.
Okay. Year three, you went to Diamond and you personally sponsored 24 people. I think it's interesting that your personal enrollments, Andrea, started off strong. 40 is good. It's not over the top, but it's right in the sweet spot. Second year, 37. The third year, when you went down to an average of 2 a month, 24 people, I expect your personal enrollments declined because you had the legs you needed.
Yep.
And volume was growing. So once you have the legs and if volume is growing, the only reason you would personally enroll is to keep your skills sharp and be a role model for your team.
We could dive in to that a little bit because that's stuff I've been working on for the last 2 years.
Okay. Tell me about that.
So what you said about to keep your skills sharp. So yeah, I mean, I guess in that year, because everything was in place, obviously my attention went to my team, more coaching, supporting, you know, all of that kind of stuff. And I wasn't focused on prospecting really at all after, I would say, year three. Enrollments that I got were in some ways accidental, or they were from work that I had done in those previous 3 years. And so now these last couple of years, I've been working on that because I got out of that mode of prospecting. And in some ways, my business felt disingenuous because I wasn't doing the work that other people were doing. And I was feeling busy and like my time was full and making up excuses of like, well, I don't have time to prospect. I have this huge team that I need to support. So last year I looked at my numbers from the last couple of years too, and they were all in the 12 to 18 category of enrollments. And then I made a conscious effort this last year to begin prospecting again. I'm back up to 24 for the year, and I want to keep moving it in that direction because it just feels better. It feels better to be doing the work when I'm talking to people about what to do. So,
you probably have realized this too, Andrea, that the seasons change every 4 or 5 years. So where classes were kind of a bulletproof way, if you would just have the class, that would work. And that might have worked for many years. And then there was a season where probably all people had to do is talk about it on their Facebook or Instagram page, and everybody would clamor to sign up. The season is different now. And so if you did all of your personal enrollments in one season, but you're trying to lead your team to have the same kind of success, and the season has changed, then you're out of touch with your skills unless you're doing what you're asking them to do, which is, okay, let's figure out how do we bring people in this era, in this marketplace, because it's ever-changing.
It is ever-changing. And so I think you nailed it on the head, was feeling out of touch. And then how do you, when you're now a leader, step back into that vulnerability of like, am I even going to have success at being an enroller again and enrolling 3 or 4 people a month? So there's some of that too. But it's been good. I feel like I'm moving back in the right direction.
So do you have any great stories, Andrea, about people that you introduced to Young Living that went on to have their life changed by the business model?
Yeah. Yes. I have two that come to mind immediately for me. You know one of them. So do you want names or just the stories? Or?
Yeah. Tell us who they are.
Okay. So Shauna Allred would be one of them. She actually helped to lead the Ignite event you were at. I think you had a chance to meet her. Yeah. And it's funny because she actually came to a class when I was hobbying it, didn't enroll. And she wasn't one of my contacts. She was a member of my team who wanted to have a few friends over. Anyway, she came like 3 years before she enrolled. So then she enrolled only to do a fundraiser for her adoption. And she thought she would make, $400 or $500 and then she'd be done with it. Well, she kept enrolling people and I kept bringing books, the Essential Oils Guide over to her so she could gift them to people. And I kept, every time I went to her house, because she lived like a mile from me, I'd say, this is a really awesome business opportunity. You should check it out. And she'd be like, oh yeah. And I, next time I'd say the same thing and I'd say the same thing. Well, she ended up seeing it and has become the biggest leader really on my team. She's a fantastic leader, has an amazing group of people on her team. And, she was able to retire from what she was doing. They were able to almost fully fund their adoption because of the Young Living business. And she's just become a really dear friend. I learned so much from her. I love it when you have people on your team that, you're the leader, but you learn so much from them. So really grateful for her. She's one.
Who's the other?
And then the other one is Jessica Pearson. And I cry almost every time I tell her story. So we'll see how we do here. So she is actually the sister-in-law of Shauna Allred. And she, joined shortly after Shauna and was interested in building, began to build, was a teacher also, and was able to retire from teaching when she hit silver. Well, an unexpected event a couple of years ago happened, and her husband, they came home to find that he had died. And they'd been at a birthday party. It was completely unexpected. And so that obviously wrecked Shauna. I mean, his mom and Shauna's mom is also a silver on our team. So like, it affected a lot of people on our team when this happened. And she's, you know, the mother of four children. They had just adopted, you know, their last child the year before. And it was crazy, crazy, crazy time. But I am so, so grateful to this Young Living business for her, because she didn't have to go back and get a job. She could just be at home with her children and grieving and going through, you know, the hardest time of her life, because she had this Young Living paycheck that came in. And I think it was like a month or two later that she actually ranked to gold after her husband passed. And so just super thankful. You never know what's going to happen in life. You just never know. And so to have this in your back pocket, building it either, you know, full time or just on the side of whatever you're doing, it really is a safety net.
Yeah. And probably the biggest safety net for them was the community of Young Living, the family support. Mm-hmm. You probably know this story, but Elijah, her 10-year-old son, I think is the first Young Living leader I interviewed after joining Young Living.
Yes. That's
even better. Because I met him at the national convention. He came up to me at the, what's it called? Like the Red Bar or something?
What is it called? But yes.
Something like that, yeah. And it's like this, it's set up like a nightclub and everybody's drinking Ninja, and this little kid is like down below me, and he looks up at me and he says, "What's your name?" And he puts out his hand and he introduces himself. And I asked him a few questions, and like 1 minute into the conversation, he says, "Oh, well, my dad died. And so it's just me and my mom. And this is my first convention." And I was like, "Oh my gosh." So I had him up in my suite the next day interviewing him. We should find that interview. It's a good interview.
Oh my gosh, that meant so much to him. Meant so much.
Yeah, he's an interesting kid. Gone through a lot.
So much.
So, Andrea, you're now like a double diamond. That should be a rank, shouldn't it?
Is that a rank? Is that a new rank? Okay. So,
let's invent it, because it sounds good, right?
I like it. I'm going to start claiming that.
Double diamond. There you go. I'm a double diamond. And so what do you see for you and for your team? What inspires you? What motivates you? What are you going to be doing over the next 3 or 4 years in Young Living? Are you going to coast? Are you going to retire? Are you going to be inspired to do something? If so, what's your plan?
I choose being inspired. I do not want to coast anymore. And not that I still have worked hard, but I absolutely have desires to get our team to Crown Diamond and to Royal Crown Diamond. We actually have a vision of the thousand dare. You've heard a little bit about this, Richard, but this idea that, you know, it's not the millions that make huge differences for people in their family. It's that extra $1,000 a month that can hugely shift things, whether it's, you know, a husband that doesn't have to work a second job, or a single mom that now is able to be with her kids more, or, you know, the family that's never been able to vacation and they now can begin to take the family vacations or pay down debt, whatever it is, an extra $1,000 a month can make a huge difference in people's lives. So we have a vision, and we've really started honing in on it and working out the details of it and getting clearer. I'd love to do some more vision work with you on this, but our vision is for our team to have 1,000 dares. So we're about, you know, we're not quite a tenth of the way there yet, but, and it feels huge, but I love it. I love the idea of it. And so that's where we're headed in the next 4 or 5 years. That's where we're headed.
How are you tracking that, and how are you displaying it? For example, is there a website where all their names are? Is there a place where the whole organization can see it as a vision and see it grow as a vision?
We do a little bit of that at Ignite, but like I said, we're working this year on how do we hone in on making it everywhere. We started interviewing the current Thousandaires and getting their videos out there on our Living Well Now page where people can see that, and just talking about it a lot more in our groups. But I love that idea of displaying it where people can see. So I need to write that down. And I'll take any other ideas that you have too. Sure. So that's one piece that I see for us in the next several years. I'm also super excited about just the global market right now. I've never intentionally grown internationally, but with this 5x5 plan that Young Living has in place, Costa Rica sparked my interest this year. And I speak Spanish, not fluently, but I speak it. So I decided like 3 or 4 months ago that I was going to have a big team in Costa Rica, and knew nobody, but just started connecting with people through Facebook mainly, and a little bit through Instagram. And actually just got back yesterday or 2 days ago from kind of an exploratory trip there. I had enrolled 3 people prior to going, and we set up some classes. One of my girlfriends on my team came with me, and we taught some classes, got to meet our new business builders who had already enrolled, and did some classes with them, came back. Richard, I took 4-Year Careers down with me. These Costa Rican women both read the 4-Year Career and are so excited. They keep messaging me on WhatsApp, like all of their plans and everything. So that's super fun. So I'm excited. That's kind of like my side project, is I'm growing Costa Rica, and I'm just thrilled about it.
Yeah, that's so fun.
Yeah, I'd say those two things, the Thousandaire Vision and Costa Rica.
Kimmy just left Sunday. She went to Vegas and did a series of events, and then took the red eye to Houston, and then the early morning flight to Panama.
Ah, she went.
She went then to Ecuador. She should have just landed in Ecuador. And so she's doing the school thing, and she's meeting our adopted daughter, Gabby, there. She actually had Andrea. We have a brand new team in South Africa.
Awesome.
And the gal in South Africa flew from South Africa to Ecuador to meet her.
Oh, my goodness.
And then they're both flying to South Africa from Ecuador. So she's doing like 3 days worth of back-to-back-to-back events in South Africa, and then 3 days worth of the same thing in Australia, and then Tokyo, and then the Philippines. She's gone for almost a month.
She's on the road. How long has she gone?
Almost a month.
Oh my gosh. Okay, I'll have to watch all her fun on social media.
I'm sitting for a month.
Good luck. I saw your post that you did where it was like following the trail of with the toilet paper or something.
Yeah, it was toilet paper. He likes to go grab the toilet paper and then drag it all over the house.
It's awesome. Funny how dogs change things a little bit, huh?
Yeah, they add a level of entertainment for sure. So the last thing I want to ask you about, Andrea, is what do you see as the new season in Young Living? What do you see that people will want to be skilled at and focused on and working on? And put it in the context of, you know, classes was a way, is still a way. Social media was a way, is still a way. What do you see as the way of now and the future? Do you see it as the same, or do you see emerging skills being needed? The person who's going to go to Diamond in the next 2 or 3 years, who do they need to be, and what do they need to be doing?
Really good question. I mean, I think you kind of hit it on the head when you said that, you know, enrollments would just come to you. There was a season where enrollments would just come to you. And so I don't think there's necessarily new skills. I think the skills have always been the same. I just think that perhaps people didn't really have to have the skills to get enrollments in the past. And so, you know, it's It's the ability to connect with people, the ability to listen, the ability to ask the right questions, the ability to see something for somebody and vision cast for them. I just listened to Ed Milet. I listened to his podcast, and he had recently had Cesar Millan, the dog whisperer, on. And Cesar was talking about, and he was putting in the context of training dogs, but how it works with humans too, obviously. The four words that he used was calm, confident, love, joy. That you've got to be calm in your mind, confident in your body, love in your heart, joy in your spirit. And so when we come at people with those four things, where we know where we're going, we know what we have to offer, we're confident about it, we're calm, we're not like desperate, and we're coming with love and with a joy, a zest for life. I mean, people are going to be attracted to that. So I think working on mindset, working on the seven skills, you know, Eric Worre has the what's his book called, the GoPro book out, that talks about the seven skills. So I think, you know, that piece and really becoming vision casters for people, it's hugely important. I do think that classes can still work. Maybe there won't be as many people coming, but I do believe they still can work. And I believe social media still can work, but it's really about us continuing to work at becoming better connectors, people.
Yeah, I totally agree. That's the skill set for the last 70 years. The people that have done really, really well have mastered how to connect with people, whether it's people you already know or people you're going to meet, and then how to build a relationship with them that comes from service and curiosity and actually being a contribution to someone else, as opposed to trying to figure out how they can help you, figure out how you can help them, and become a servant leader. And I think the landscape of young living, at least in North America, is a little bit different today. You know, oils are not the novelty that they were 5, 6, 7 years ago. But nothing has changed in terms of people looking for connection and people looking for income and people looking for health and people looking to better themselves and better education. The opportunity in that sense is as rich as it's ever been. And so, you know, Kimmy and I are very, very optimistic and engaged with the future of Young Living. It's a beautiful thing.
Awesome. I love it. We're so happy to have you in Young Living. Like, so happy to have you in Young Living.
Thank you. And we'll see you again in February at Ignite.
A few short months away.
Looking forward to that.
Yes. Look forward to spending time with you. Okay, I'm going to watch Kimmy and all of her travels now. So fun.
Thank you, Andrea.
Ask you a question? I know at the end of some of your calls, the person gets to ask you a question.
Sometimes they do.
Ready for you.
What's the question?
Okay, so how do you plan, like, do you do something at the end of, like, will you do something at the end of 2019 to goal set and plan for 2020? Like, what do you do to get ready for the next year?
Already done.
Done. Okay, tell me more.
Well, at the end of 2019, to plan for 2020 is too late.
What do you do at the end of a year? What are you?
I don't do anything. What I do at the end of the year is rest. Like,
oh, okay.
For me personally, I'm not a fan of, you know, grinding out the last month of the year. I like the holiday season, even though there's plenty of prospecting a person can do, plenty of building that a person can do in the holidays. It's actually the best month of the year if you understand it as that way and you understand how to take advantage of it. So I don't rest in December because December's not the best month to build. I think it is an extraordinary month to build. I rest in December because I think running and resting is a rhythm that we need to develop, because network marketing success, perhaps even life, is a marathon. But it's a marathon made up of sprints. And so when you're sprinting for, let's say, 90 days, you need to rest. and then you take on another sprint. I personally like the month of December as a rest month. So what I'm going to be doing in my businesses, which I don't have a lot to do with Young Living, Kimmy, she builds that business. I support her. I'm building my coaching and training and seminar business. But the goals and the plans for 2020.
We'll be there in May.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
United Invitational. Thank you.
Yeah.
The plans for 2020 are already set. Those have been set over the last couple of months, because come January 2nd or 3rd, we have to hit the ground running. So if you wait until the end of the year to sort of sit down and figure out, okay, what do I want to do with 2020? What's going to happen? Is it going to be the end of January? And you're still probably having that conversation, and you've missed the first perhaps cycle. Now you can do a 2 or 3 month run, you know, anytime you want. That could be November, December, or it could be November, December, January. It could be September, October, November. So there's no rhyme or reason to that. But I personally like to start off the new year with a focused run. So in Young Living, you know, what Kimmy's doing starting January, February, and March is really leading up to celebrating partly at Ignite and partly at the United Invitational, the end of April. But she's looking to get two cycles in before convention, two runs. So that could be January, February, March, you know, rest in April, May, June, and July. That's going to be in the middle of convention, so it's not perfect, but you know, that's like a way to do it. But it doesn't serve me personally. I'm not telling other people how to do it, to start planning the 1st of January for what I'm going to do in 2020. I want to have that already set.
Mm-hmm.
Like part of my business is I set, and it's actually a Young Living product, run through rank program that I'm doing for Young Living that's launching January 2nd.
Awesome.
For people that want to hit the ground running January 2nd. So in order to enroll in something like that and get your head right around it, you can't be thinking about it December 31st. You got to be thinking about it now.
Right. Absolutely. Right?
You got to be envisioning what I want to do in 2020 now. And how do I want that pace of play to be? What do I want my runs to be? Where do I want my rest to be? And, you know, I think like we talked about earlier, I don't encourage people to wrap that around November, because November is such an artificial spike in volume.
Totally.
That it does not serve you in the organic, authentic rank development program that you need to be in. What I do in about the month of October, November, is I just pay attention to my body. I pay attention to my inspiration and my ambition. And I just ask myself authentic questions, and I really pay attention to the shoulds in the answer. You know, because shoulds are so easy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Kimmy and I are new to Young Living, so we should do this and we should do that. And, you know, I just launched a couple of years ago my coaching and training business, so I should be doing all kinds of things. But I pay attention to those, because shoulds are motivation I want to stay away from. Shoulds don't allow me to be authentic. The question I want to ask is, if I'm not doing anything I should do, what do I want to do in 2020? How hard do I want to work? When do I want to work? When do I want to rest? What kind of cycles do I want to run in? I personally like 2 month cycles, 2 months running hard, 1 month off, 2 months running hard, 1 month off. That's my favorite run rest cycle. So I've mapped out the whole year with my team as to what I'm going to be doing. And there's plenty of room in there for calling audibles, because things happen that we're not aware of. right now.
Right.
But the work is done now, so that for me, January 2nd comes, I'm fully engaged in a plan that's already designed. And it's an authentic plan that honors me, that inspires me, and it's not triggered by any obligations, pleasing other people, living up to expectations that the world might have of me. It's devoid of all of that, which keeps me grounded and authentically motivated.
Mm-hmm. Good stuff. Good stuff right there. Thank you for answering that.
Hey, Andrea, awesome stories and interviews. I love your stats. I love your progression of how you've advanced through the compensation plan. I love the rank that you've established of double diamond. And, and I especially love your vision for 1,000 thousandaires moving forward.
Awesome. And I love that I chose to do this interview with you. I have to tell you, I just have to leave people with this. Because my growth this year hasn't been like anything super impressive, I was telling myself the story that I don't deserve to be interviewed on one of these calls, and that it should be reserved for other diamonds who are growing faster than me. And in a moment of clarity, I said, that's stupid. And I messaged you right away while I was in that space. And then you responded promptly. And I was like, oh, okay, shoot, I guess I'm on this interview.
Minute now. So,
anyway, I'm really grateful that I did. And I always love learning from you. I really appreciate you as one of, really truly one of my great mentors in this field. So thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you, Andrea. Talk to you soon.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. I trust you got some golden nuggets. If you're inspired sufficiently, I invite you to join me for Run Through Rank. Run Through Rank is a coaching program designed to have you blow through your next rank with never having to worry about requalifying. We come together twice a week for an hour for 60 days. You'll end up with 16 to 20 hours of custom video content you can study forever. This could be the best investment you ever make. Check it out at runthroughrank.com. That's runthruRANK.com. We'll see you there.